What's up, everybody? My name is Law, and this is the Actualized Being podcast, where every day we explore the challenges and triumphs of reaching our greatest potential. Okay, today we're going to talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and the five-stage model, but we're only going to talk about the first two stages of the model. So if you all have seen, if you're familiar with Abraham Maslow and his hierarchy of needs, where there's been diagrams created where he has a pyramid and he has five stages on that pyramid. So those represent a group of needs, and it starts with the physiological needs, which we'll talk about today. Not as much as we'll talk about this one, the safety needs. We'll talk a lot more about that today, mainly because of what's going on right now. We're currently in a pandemic, a global pandemic. So that's why we're going to be discussing this. So the third stage is love and belongingness needs, and the fourth stage is esteem needs. And the fifth stage is, of course, self-actualization needs, which is the goal that we, most of us, are trying to accomplish here. If you're listening to this podcast, you certainly are interested in reaching that sort of goal. So the difference between a lot of these stages is at the very top of the pyramid, you have the self-actualization stage, which are your being needs. So that's kind of where this whole actualized being comes from. Once we're actualized, our being is completely different. We're satisfying our being needs. And anything below that are our deficiency needs. So we are deficient from self-actualization when any of these lower stages are not satisfied. And you're not always going to be in the self-actualization stage. So you can go into it and out of it fairly easily. Things can change in your life, of course. Needs can end up going from being met to not being met. So in this current pandemic, the most important needs that we need to discuss are the physiological and the safety needs. The love and belonging needs and the esteem needs will hold off for maybe the next podcast. I'll consider if I'm gonna do it in the next podcast, or maybe in a future episode. But and then the self-actualization stage, I want to talk about that separately as well. But we're definitely going to talk about the physiological and the safety needs, because right now, I think a lot of people are really afraid of what's going on around the world. I mean, of course, a lot of us here in America, in the US, are afraid, but we have to think that this is a global issue. So that's a heavy, you know, weight to kind of bear, you know. Just thinking about that, that's a lot. Because a lot of the world is currently at home, basically like watching movies, working from home, you know, sitting around doing nothing. It really depends on what their situation is, or they could even be desperate and, you know, furiously searching online for ways to get another source of income, since a lot of people are out of jobs right now because this pandemic has forced us into a situation where we can't even congregate in office buildings or you know, restaurants or theaters or anything like that. So a lot of jobs are just done right now. I mean, the economy is at a standstill pretty much. You know, there's a lot of people that are still working, yes, but and working from home and things like that, but not everyone has that privilege. So let's just kind of talk about the physiological needs first. So these are biological requirements for human survival, like air, food, drink, shelter, clothing, warmth, sex, and sleep. Now, most of us will be able to get that. Now, there's a lot of people who, like, I was just watching a video, check out his YouTube, Jeremiah Babe. His YouTube channel, he's always like, well, when I first found him, this was about a year or two ago, he was always talking about, you know, the economy is, you know, fixing the crash. So he was at first, like, the reason why I decided to follow him was because I agree. Yes, we were approaching a recession, and you know, I was looking at it more from a perspective of I can't wait for people to start seeing the value in decentralized economics versus what our economy is like today. And he's looking at it from a standpoint of, I'm afraid this could all fall apart. So I only watched him because I agreed with the fact that, you know, there's a recession on the approach, and a recession would force people to start rethinking what our economy is like, our government, you know, how everything is structured. But in this case, it turned out to be a much, much worse situation. So there's a lot of people around the world, because I was watching this Jeremiah Babe's channel, and in one of his videos, he was saying that there's a lot of people, particularly in California from where he was at, but he was also saying, you know, everyone around the world is suffering from this because there's, you know, people who don't have what we have. Like, some of us are doing pretty well because, you know, we've got some things going for us, like we're able to work from home or something like that. You know, we're still able to take care of ourselves, you know, but others, not so much. Even here in America, there are a lot of people who are below the poverty line who are struggling right now, live check to check. They're not able to get any checks anymore. They can't work. They got kids, and, you know, they're basically wondering, what am I going to do? I mean, every single day is like more and more stress on them because they got bills, you know, and all kinds of stuff that's just making it very stressful for them. So for them, like, food is a issue, water, shelter, clothing, warmth, sex, and sleep. Well, sleep is something that we can do without for only so much time, but we can, most of us can get sleep because we have places to sleep. Even if we're homeless, we can get sleep. And I would imagine if you're homeless, you're not listening to this podcast. But I wish homeless people would be able to listen to this podcast, mainly just because I would hope that the things that I'm sharing through my podcast would be able to help them achieve a lot of goals, because I've worked with a lot of homeless people before to help them achieve particular goals and, better themselves. But yes, warmth, clothing, shelter, food and drink. Air is not an issue because we all get air free. We can debate about how free that air is, but food, drink, shelter, clothing, warmth. Warmth, that may not be much of an issue because utility companies can't really shut anything down. However, if like they're still charging people and people are still falling behind on their bills, so that's an issue. So warmth can be an issue further down the road. Like by the time the summertime comes around and people are getting their, heat and power shut off and stuff like that, that's going to be an issue. Also shelter, rent. People are struggling to pay rent, so that's a big deal right now. And then there's food and drink. You're not able to work. You can't make money. You can't get food. I would imagine food stamps are going to be at an all-time high right now. So it's probably a lot of applications for that. It's just a lot of applications for unemployment going on because, people need money. So the physiological needs, we know that that's a major issue. We know. Okay. Now, when it comes to surviving through this pandemic, those kinds of things we can kind of try and figure out. If we're patient enough and we're resilient enough to find solutions, we can possibly find solutions. However, I don't say that lightly, because I want to say that the government is going to eventually get their act together and help a lot of people out. But it's not panning out that way very well. I'm sorry to say that. It's really not panning out very well. And I wish that the government could start moving a little faster. Anyway, I think that there are things out there that can help a lot of people. Although, I mean, just despite the fact that there's this economic standstill, pretty much everyone won't be able to find help, but most people will. So that's a very bleak outcome for just discussing the physiological needs. I mean, that's wow. I'm sorry to make it sound so bad, but let's just move on to safety needs. Once an individual's physiological needs are satisfied, the needs for security and safety become salient. People want to experience order, predictability, and control in their lives. These needs can be fulfilled by the family and society, police, schools, business, and medical care. For example, emotional security, financial security, employment, social welfare, law and rule and order, freedom and fear, social stability, property, health, and well-being. Okay, so this is where I kind of wanted to dig in a little deeper. But first, I just wanted to take a moment to recognize a sponsor. So let's take a break for just a second. All right, so let's get into the safety needs. Now, basically, what I've been kind of paying attention to a lot lately is our national security, mostly the cybersecurity part of things, but also our financial and economic security. Because I'm obsessed with decentralized economics, and also I'm kind of obsessed with cybersecurity a little bit too. But those things, I guess they probably over the last couple years made me sound a little paranoid, but for me, I'm so passionate about these subjects that it was very important to me, and I saw what was coming a mile away, you know, just the way social media is and how people are behaving, lack of desire to have mature discussion, and the rage that people seem to demonstrate online, it's kind of scary. And we're so against each other. So we had to consider, you know, emotional security, financial security, law and order, freedom, fear, social stability, health and well-being. This is a big one. Health and well-being right now is a big issue that is looming over everything because of the coronavirus. But that virus is, I mean, it is the it's our biggest priority right now. But I don't want to say the wrong thing. Because there are some huge dangers that we face literally right now, just because of the fact that we're in a global pandemic. I mean, a lot of people, you know, want to focus on the physiological needs, and I get that, understandable, you know, making sure everybody's got food and roofs over their heads. But the thing is that we have to understand that there's going to be a huge decrease in supply for the next, possibly the next year. So, or it'll be a big dip, maybe not a like, because for right now, there's definitely a decrease. There has to be a decrease in supply. Like, it just has to be. Our economy, world economy, is super slow, and it just makes it hard for everyone to be able to do anything. So, I mean, we're trying to do everything we can to keep the economy going, but it's not hard to see that this is going to affect us for some time. So that is going to raise stress levels for a lot of people, because people are going to start feeling unsafe, less secure. I mean, all of this ties into health and well-being too, because psychologically, a lot of us aren't equipped to deal with the stress that is about to come our way. And I always feel so blessed to have gone through the things that I've gone through, because those lessons taught me how to deal with and cope with the major stresses that life will bring. Like, life will throw a wrench in everything that you got going on in a heartbeat. You can't get too complacent. You can't think to yourself that everything's gonna be fine because you got all your plans perfectly set up. You know, it's going to come a time where you're going to have to start understanding that life isn't always going to go the way you want it to go. And when there are moments that are high stress, it may be best to embrace whatever it is that you're resisting about that super stressful moment. And when I say that, it's almost like the only example I could provide, is like wanting to learn to play golf. And of course, when you first start playing golf, you're not going to be able to hit the ball. You're not going to be able to get your movements right. You're going to suck at it, and you're going to be ready to quit. But the only way you can get to a point where you're really good at golf is if you play more often and you embrace that lack of ability and that lack of control, because you're never gonna really have 100% control over everything. You embrace that uncertainty because you don't know if you're going to ever be able to get really good at it or not. You don't know if you're going to be able to, you know, master the game. Let me consider a better analogy. Eviction. This is a very personal one for me. Being evicted is a tough one. I know that is one of the most stressful experiences you could ever imagine. And in the beginning, when you're faced with the eviction, you're thinking to yourself, I'm never going to be able to find another place. I got to figure out a way to pay off this rent. I can't, you know, allow for something like this to happen in my life. And you might fail, you might succeed at paying the rent off if you don't succeed at paying the rent off, then that's even more stress. So now you get evicted and you're left without a home, or you figure something else out. But this is going to motivate you to figure out what to do next, regardless, because they're going to either put you out or you're going to have to leave on your own. Now, if you choose to just not do anything and be put out, then you're out on the street, and the streets will motivate you to get yourself together. And if the streets don't motivate you to get yourself together, then I don't know what to tell you. I honestly don't know what to tell you, because we have to understand that sometimes embracing that uncertainty, embracing that lack of safety, that lack of security, is what will motivate us to create more for ourselves, more security for ourselves. I mean, or to be more comfortable being less secure in whatever moment you're in. So like with this whole pandemic, if you've already been through a lot of moments that have made you extremely insecure, and you were forced to figure out a way to get comfortable in that, and it motivated you to build your security, you took that lesson with you, and you're more prepared for the future. So in situations like this, like I'm lucky, but I am prepared psychologically for this pandemic. I am prepared for it. But you know, we do not necessarily have what we would consider order, law and order right now. It's very uncertain right now. It's very scary. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. And the reason being is because if you can just take a moment to breathe and kind of stop and ask yourself, what is it I'm afraid of? What am I actually afraid of? Am I afraid of being out on the street? If that's what you're afraid of, imagine yourself out on the street. I mean, take a moment to sit and like really like put yourself in a scenario and, you know, feel the emotions that you would normally feel if you were in that kind of scenario, and then see how you feel in that moment. And if it, you don't really like it, that should be a clear motivator to make you say, I don't want to allow this to happen. Let me do whatever it takes to make sure it doesn't. Now, in some cases, you may fail, and then you may need to have to go through that kind of situation. You may need to, because you need to go a little bit deeper into your into the stress and the pain in order to understand the severity of that situation. So one of the things that I've been kind of doing is, well, first and foremost, just relaxing and trying to, stay calm, not worry so much about the fact that my income has made a drastic change in just a matter of days, and I had to figure out ways to create new sources of income. And I have many ways, and actually I'm working on something right now, working on putting some stuff together that I can share with you guys, so you can have some ways to earn money, tools to kind of help support and guide you through these really difficult times, you know, because I have a budget calculator and everything that I use right now, and I'm putting together some content to kind of help you guys put together proper budgets, find new sources of income that won't cost you any money up front, and if they do cost money up front, I'll be able to help you find ways to get that money so you could pay for that, or to get money just to have money, you know, get some kind of income. But I'm a big fan of, earning, like using financial resources to earn even just a little bit of money, and taking that little bit of money and figuring out a way to pay for exposure to certain financial resources that will help earn me more money. So, there's a lot of strategies that you can use to just make money online. Making money offline is kind of not really where it's at right now, but there are methods that you can use to make money offline. They're not as many as there would be if this economy was up and running full-fledged, but there are still ways to earn money, and that's why I'm so like, I'm okay, because I'm using this time to learn, I'm using this time to build, I'm using this time to find opportunity. I kind of look at this whole pandemic as an opportunity in so many ways, because I can be at home. I can, like most of us, can spend time with our kids, you know, we can, you know, be with family, you know, talk with each other. I've been, you know, spending more time talking with my friends and stuff like that, family. It's been great, you know, to have a moment to breathe and not have to, like, I'm worried, but I'm not like in a panic, you know. It's a good healthy fear that I have right now, and it's that fear that's like, I don't know where this may go, I don't know what may happen actually right now if I implement these steps, if I go and take these steps. This is the same place that I was in 2009. So in 2009, because they had the whole crash and everything, the recession began in 2008. But in 2009, I took time to start learning how to become a web developer. And I was only making like $15,000 a year and trying to go back to school, and school wasn't really providing anything for me. So I decided I'm going to go learn web development on my own. And I spent just weeks just in my own apartment doing nothing but learning how to build websites. And once I finally figured out how to build websites, I went out and started building websites for people. And then once I started building websites for people, people started noticing. And so then eventually I ended up getting a job as a web developer. And it was one of the greatest experiences ever for me, because at the very beginning, I was not sure if I was going to be able to become a web developer. I deliberately sat myself down and said, what am I going to do with my life? And I was like, what skills do I have? Well, I don't know if I have any really valuable skills, but one thing I do know is that I can do really well learning about how to use the internet. And since I know how to use the internet, like a few years before 2009, it was about three years before 2009. In 2006, I created my own podcast and I built my first website by just figuring out how to manipulate my MySpace page. And then after I learned how to manipulate my MySpace page, I was like, well, so all that is just like, I can just buy hosting service and then I could do the same thing on my own host. Oh, so that's how a website's built. And I created a website. So then I was like, well, since I figured that out and most of that stuff is, that information is free, why don't I just go on ahead and learn? I got the time. And so I put in the time, I put in the work, and the outcome was glorious. Because I got my job literally days before my son was born. Literally days. I'm talking about 6 days. 6 days. I was hired and started my first day on September 3rd, 2013. And then September 9th, 2013, my son was born. So, crazy, man. It was crazy. I was so happy too. I spent years working on building my portfolio and everything. So like we're talking from 2009 all the way up to 2013, that's 4 years. So from that day, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, there's no way I'm gonna become a web developer. I don't even know how to build a website. Like, you know, like, cause at that point in time, this was 2009, Facebook was huge. So I was like, I don't know how I could build something like Facebook. And I actually was, the social network released, I think it was that year. I can't remember what year it was. Let me look it up real quick. That was what year? 2010. So yeah, I actually built my first website in 2010 because, from scratch. Yep. Because I remember I watched that movie and I was like, yep, this is what I'm going to do. And because before I was building just simple HTML sites, and I saw The Social Network and I was like, I'm going to take this serious. And I learned PHP because I found out that Facebook was written in PHP. And so I was like, well, why not just write in PHP too? And I learned PHP and I built my quote unquote social network website. It did work. It was just nobody was on it. There was no social activity going on. But it was my first project and I was super proud of it. And I built it from command line, you know, like that's how, you know, I like something that I never would have suspected that I ever do. So, at that point in time, we were in a recession, but we were not, like we are now. So I would say that it's even more important right now to take this moment and kind of, you know, breathe and figure out what it is that you want to do. Like, what is your plan with this whole pandemic? Like, how you're going to get through it, how you're going to survive after it, because these are two very different things. Like, the economy could start getting back up and running soon, but then at the same time it might not. And those two scenarios are drastically different. Okay. Because, of course, you know, if we end up in a situation like this, like we're in right now, currently, where there's no traffic in the streets, in major cities everywhere, the economy is at a standstill, basically. Oh, my goodness. Like, it will be very bad. But if we all kind of work together and listen to our health experts and what they're saying, and stop putting out these conspiracy theories like the virus isn't as serious as people are making it out to be. Oh, it's very serious. If you do not understand, have a thorough understanding of virology, is that, did I say that right? Well, biology and viruses specifically. You know, if you don't have an understanding of that, then probably shouldn't be speculating about what this is. you're probably not qualified for that, you know. The only reason I would say it's dangerous is because experts are saying it's dangerous, and I'm listening to what they're saying, and not because I'm a sheep, but because when I'm listening to what they're saying, I'm going and I'm looking up what they're telling me to look up in order to verify that it's dangerous. You know, like, I am obsessed with science. And when I say I'm obsessed with science, that means the process of science. So what most people don't understand is that when you talk about science, that means most science is peer reviewed. Most experimentation is peer reviewed. So you can say that a study is not very accurate. You are very welcome to say that a study is probably not very accurate. It's probably not going to represent the reality of what is, would really happen in a real world scenario. So in order to make your claim valid, you would have to put it to the test yourself. That's peer review. So me personally, I don't put things necessarily to the test myself. However, I do go and do as much research as I can to find as much peer review as I can to validate whatever it is that I'm considering supporting as a reality. So I think it's very important to remember that in this time right now, you kind of have an opportunity. Don't look at it as if everything is falling apart, because at the end of the day, you're going to need these particular needs met, your physiological and your safety needs. Now, your physiological needs, you can have control of personally. So it's much easier for you to be able to handle that. I mean, as far as getting the money to have those things, you still have control over it. It's just a little harder now. okay? And the only thing you have to do is figure out how you can create value. So what does that mean? Well, right now, what is valuable? Well, one thing that is quite valuable is a cure for COVID-19. Well, we don't have that right now, and you're likely not a chemist or anything like that, and you're not being funded to create a vaccine in a lab, so that's out of the question. But people would pay dearly to get that vaccine. That's probably the most valuable the item of most value right now in our global economy. But what else can you think of? So there are a lot of hospitals in need right now. There are a lot of people who need to get food. So delivery services are huge right now. So Instacart is a big deal. Matter of fact, I'll leave a link so you guys can check that out for Instacart to sign up. I wonder where I could put that link. I don't know. I haven't tried that yet in the show notes or anything like that, but I'll figure that out. Anyway, it should be in the description show notes. But Instacart is in need of shoppers. Postmates in need of delivery drivers or delivery. Like, you don't even have to just use a car. You could ride a bike, or you could get on a skateboard or whatever, you know, to do deliveries. You don't need to necessarily have a car. And I see a lot of people, you know, who pass on certain things because they think, oh, well, I don't have a car. Well, actually, you can get a car. Right now, you can't rent any cars, but if the economy were up and running, you'd be able to get into the Lyft program or the Uber program, where they have rental cars that they could provide for you, as long as you put a down payment, a deposit on that car, and you can drive it for Uber or Lyft, or you can also use it for other personal use. So there really are no excuses as far as how you can earn money. Like, of course, Lyft and Uber are not, they're not doing very well right now because their demand is just done. But Postmates, DoorDash, Uber Eats probably is okay. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people complaining about Uber Eats, but DoorDash, Postmates, Instacart, there's a lot of other delivery places. I mean, there's a lot of work from home positions that I end up finding on different YouTube channels. Like, there's YouTube channels that have that are basically sharing all kinds of work from home opportunities every single day. Like, literally every single day they're sharing work from home opportunities. So there are ways to get through this financially, safety wise. I saw a lot of people buying guns. I think there's a double-edged sword to that. I mean, because what that tells me is that a lot of people are afraid. And when a lot of people are afraid, a lot of people can get desperate. And when a lot of people are desperate, they do crazy things. So, yeah, some people are probably buying guns because they're afraid that people are going to do desperate things and do stupid things. Some people are buying these guns with that intention, and then eventually it turns out that they're desperate and then they go and use that gun to do desperate things. So, like I said, double-edged sword. Yes, you could be protecting yourself at one point, but then when the mood changes, you can eventually get to a point where you're like, yeah, I'm protecting my family now. I have to go get some kind of food for them. Let me figure out how to do that. And, you know, that house looks empty. Let me rob that place, you know, something stupid. But not to say that that is what I expect, because I'm hoping that most people would just kind of try and figure out what they can do outside of committing any crime. But I would hope that people take this moment, breathe, realize that there's opportunities out there for them. This is just gonna have to take a massive adjustment. There's gonna be a lot of people that aren't gonna be able to be helped in this situation, and that's gonna be unfortunate, but we gotta do our best to get through this as soon as possible so that we can get ourselves to a point where we can help each other. So one thing, I follow Eben Pagan a lot. He's basically been a huge inspiration to me. So he has a program called Connected. And basically in this program, he's talking about how important it is for us to become self-actualized. So on our road to self-actualization, of course, the physiological and the safety needs are the most important. So we got to make sure we take care of those, right? Well, when we're not taking care of those needs, then they become a hindrance to us becoming self-actualized. And when we're not self-actualized, we can't focus on helping other people. But if you do take certain steps to get your life to a point where those needs are more and more satisfied, the more and more time you'll be able to have to help other people. So in my case, since I got kind of lucky and I'm in a situation where I don't have a tremendous amount of stress on me, like leaning on me right now, because of the fact that nobody's making money, I'm doing whatever I can to share information that will hopefully keep everybody in a state where there's hope. Because there is hope. Honestly, I'm gonna be pushing out all kinds of resources. Like right now, today I found out how I can start putting more effort into the decentralized web and contributing to that. I have my own decentralized website coming soon. So you can go, well, first you'll have to understand how to access the decentralized web. But I have selfactualized.com. Or selfactualization.zil and selfactualization.crypto. Those websites will be coming soon. So, and I posted to my personal Unstoppable Domain website today and it worked. So I'm like, oh great, I'm in a whole new space now. So I'm in the decentralized web now. I went from building websites on web, you know, wanting to build web 2.0 sites and building websites or building web applications for web 2.0 sites, and now I'm moving on to web 3.0. And I'm super excited about it. So I'm going to be sharing a lot of stuff with you guys, because the decentralized web is a big deal. And I actually would love to talk about that more, but I'll probably wait until another topic, another day, another episode for that, because that's more on the grounds of how we can come up with solutions to poverty and financial stress. So right now, like, I'm trying to put it all together. I'm figuring it all out right now. It's going to be seamless when it's all done, though. I'm super excited about it because it's starting to come together. And eventually I have my whole funnel together, my strategy down, so I can be able to optimize this and it runs like a machine. But right now, starting with this podcast was the first thing. This is episode 2, y'all. I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. I love this format because it just makes me feel better. It's easier to do. I don't have to worry about video and stuff. I always try to do YouTube and all that stuff, but this whole Anchor FM thing, it makes it so much easier. So I'm definitely for it. But that's it for today, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode where we're discussing this pandemic, surviving in this pandemic, and trying to figure out how to cope with the stress that will come along with it, because it is very scary right now. This is a scary time. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, folks. So don't worry. Just try and keep it cool. And I hope you guys, keep your heads up out there. Talk to you later. See you in the next episode.